The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Maybe Alan Virgo will come to dinner with me. He's our Bloomberg News correspondent. He is speaking to us. Generally, he speaks to us about agriculture and everything agriculture related. Today, it's on the Russian food ban. It sounds funny, but Russia actually has banned imports of all foodstuffs. Alan, thanks for joining us. Explain to us just how big of an impact this is going to have on the amount of food literally eaten in Russia.
Well, it really depends on where you're at as far as the import on different countries that export to Russia. In terms of Russia itself, I mean, food is such a fungible market. I mean, you can get so many things from so many different places. There's a feeling that this could spur greater food inflation in Russia. You know, the remaining buyers that they would go to may be charging higher prices just because of the disruption. Obviously, you'll have to change some supply chains, and it could affect availability of some products. I pity the Russian consumer who likes almonds. 80% of the world's almonds are grown in the Central Valley of California. That's a scarcity that's going to be tough to make up. But, you know, Russia is largely food self-sufficient. They supply more than 90% of their own food supply. They will find a way.
So Russia will find a way. They're food self-sufficient. But terrific story on the Bloomberg Terminal today about Finland. Who would have thought that Finland is getting hit maybe the hardest in Europe by these new steps by Vladimir Putin?
Whenever there's a fire, the person most likely to get singed is the next door neighbor. And when you're taking a look at Finland's situation, you know, one third of their trade is with Russia and a large amount of their food trade. In a lot of ways, the companies there are one market. Finland and Russia, these are borders that have been variable over the decades, and there's a lot of intermingling. So if Finland is really on the front lines with this, other European countries such as Poland that export are also going to have some issues with apples, for example. The further away you get, the less of the impact it is, which is why you're not seeing a major reaction in U.S. markets today, because they're simply not as worried about the impact of Russian trade.
What European country is sweating the most today?
Well, definitely Finland. And then really, it's just take a look at the map and see how close the country is. Sweden, the Nordic countries, you know, will be doing more exports. Poland, once again, if you're supplying the Russian market. Now, on the other hand, there's been almost sort of an eye roll and sigh from your constituencies in terms of people who export to Russia. Take, for example, Americans and poultry. Russia at one point was the number one market for U.S. poultry. This year, it was dropping all the way to number four because these sorts of things have actually been going on before. You don't see the headlines of them because of the Ukraine crisis, but Russia's been playing with restrictions for ostensible food safety reasons for quite a while now. And so to them, this is just sort of the latest inevitable blow that they anticipated would be happening at some point.
So I was reading a comment to the extent that one upside to this is that we might see less food inflation because we're going to be exporting less necessarily.
Well, that is the flip side on this. For European Union consumers especially, that supply that was going to Russia is now going to be coming to the domestic marketplace. You know, just for a little bit of a history lesson here about how food bans tend to work. When the Soviets invaded Afghanistan in 1979, the U.S. under Jimmy Carter decided they were really going to hurt the Soviets. They were going to stop exporting grain. And there was a grain embargo that depressed U.S. domestic prices for food during a time of high inflation. But the rest of the world just sort of made up the supply. And the grain embargo ended up really hurting no one but American farmers. Now, fast forward a generation. This time, rather than the U.S. saying we're not sending stuff to Russia, Russia is saying we're not going to buy these products. But once again, food commodities are so fungible and it's such a global supply chain, people can make substitutions and get through it really without as much impact as you might anticipate.
Yeah, so, and in fact, we just spoke to Henry Meyer in our Bloomberg News Moscow bureau, and you know, he said how isolated Vladimir Putin feels. He has to retaliate, fight back. But as I listen to you, Alan, it makes me think that maybe he has somewhat cleverly chosen a step, right, that makes a statement to the world, and sure, it's going to hurt Finland, but won't hurt the U.S. much, one of the countries he'd probably most like to hurt, and that in some sense he may have done this to have the least impact, right? I mean, if he suddenly said, hey, no natural gas for Europe, it would be a very different story.
It would be a very different story. With agriculture especially, I'm sure there are some domestic Russian farm groups that are quite happy about this because they just lost some competition. You know, consumers in Russia may actually be paying some higher prices, but again, this all becomes sacrifice for the effort. I think looking at these sanctions from an American perspective, it makes me think of what people in Russia must be thinking when they see some of the sanctions, especially the early sanctions that have been coming down from the U.S. and EU. You know, so much of politics is local, and so much of the impact gets mitigated by different factors, that while you may make a grand political statement, on the ground, the impact may not be what it might appear to be initially, right. And that changes things.
Could we turn a bit more broadly to agriculture, because pork is one of our biggest exports to Russia. You know, meat prices are up. We had a story about the what's going to happen to baconaholics, and since I love bacon, it really caught my eye. What's going on with pork and beef?
Well, again, when you take a look at pork and beef, these are markets that were already declining from U.S. exports to Russia because of some of these food safety concerns that, the Russians were kept putting up. You know, our pork was our number three export so far this year, but it's $60 million out of a multi-billion dollar market. So once again, you could see some easing of food inflation on the U.S. end on the margin because that pork is now not going to be going to Russia, but it's not as significant of a player as you might think for a nation that size.
Yeah, and I guess pork's been hit by a virus, because more broadly, beef was hurt by the drought a couple of years ago, right? A lot of herds were just decimated.
The herds, it's been building up herds lost to the 2012 drought. With pork, we have, and I hesitate to say it on air, the porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, which is about as deadly as it is not fun to say. And that's hurt hog supplies to the tune of about 4%, which is making a real impact in prices, and much more so than, say, some sort of trade ban.
All right. Alan Bjerga, well, you always find a way to say things in an interesting and graceful way, no matter what it is. Alan Bjerga, reporting from our Washington Bureau. He covers agriculture, policy, all things related. So we are going to turn from Russia, from Vladimir Putin's decisions on Ukraine, his ban on food imports, to stocks more broadly. A lot of earnings out this week, a lot of big deals still in question. Jack Rifkin from Altegris will be on with us next. This is the Hayes Advantage, Bloomberg Radio.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.